Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio is about to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. The website's KCNR1460.com. You can get to us that way, too, just by sending us an email. And I'm joined today in the studio by our producer, Bad Bob.
And good morning, Carl and Linda. Happy Friday.
Happy it's Friday, January 22nd, another week, the end of our fifth week. Are you streaming today, Bob?
We are up on livestream.com/freefireradio. Already have, I believe, Indie Guys already checked in. So when you log in, and I'm not sure why that is happening, but we're going to check that out, find out what's going on there. Linda, you may wish to grab the other microphone and bring it around while we investigate that situation. But yes, so when you first log into the KCNR live stream page, you'll see a brief commercial, and then it'll come up in the player, and there's a chat window you can type your comments into, and it's in testing right now. We're enjoying it.
Okay, now, but the real reason I'm here is my soulmate, Linda.
Good morning.
Good morning.
If I'm sounding a little bassy this morning, it's because moi was rehearsing last night with the great Lou White and Pat Karch. We are going to do a special little program on for the afternoon luncheon for the Women's Cascade lumber company that's coming in. What's it called? What's the official title?
It's the Sierra Cascade Logging Conference, and then I believe it is the Forest Products Symposium or Seminar or something. Forest Products Conference.
And they're the ones bringing in Sarah Palin, and we have two tickets we're going to be giving away. I think we'll start the 1st of February for that. We've kept them on hold, and these are evening performance tickets. I love when little special ditties come up that I just have to share with you. This day in history in 1960. Love it. Some $50,000 was possibly buried in an old tin can somewhere in the wilds near Hayfork. The treasure story came to light when Mrs. Arlene Cromie, 29, of Oakland, told Oakland police that she thought her father, a well-known San Francisco Bay Area gambling man in the 30s and 40s, buried the $50,000 near Hayfork. So I think for you hunters, when you're out there in the wilderness, don't just look at a can. If you see a lid somewhere, go a little deeper.
Okay. Well, you never can tell where that $50,000 is. Yeah. You know, we're going to take a quick break here. We come back. You know, people have said to us, you know, why, you know, the headlines when we bought the radio station and started the shows was, you know, we had calls. People said, you know, it's a conservative. And I said, well, you know, it's conservative to a point. And you've got, you know, Dennis Miller, who is, you know, he's not a wide-eyed conservative by any means. We have different groups of people on here. But we were asked about other agencies. And we're going to talk a little bit about that as soon as we get back from this break. This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, and KCNR 1460. Our phone lines here are 605-4567.
What's happening?
I have cracked.
Good morning, Reading. Shasta, this is KCNR 1460. Good morning. This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. Happy Friday. The weather today is going to be 46 degrees. Showers likely with thunderstorms. Also possible after 10 a.m. It's cloudy with a high near 46 and the south wind between 6 and 8 p.m. Chance of precipitation is 70%. The weather is always brought to you by Ensamo Vineyards, our favorite destination getaway. What are you doing over there?
Well, I can't help it. You know, you try and go out. You know, you try to help. You know, you try to make people happy, right? You try to make people happy, and so you go out and you look for different shows. Well, there I was looking at Air America. Making, there I was. I was trying to sign contracts with Air America and Al Franken and Rachel Maddow. There I was. I mean, I was on the verge of it. And what happened? That's right. Air America Radio shut down abruptly due to financial woes. The network, who once boasted hosts as Al Franken and Rachel Maddow, who saw a sinking ship and did what all rats do and ran away. Oh, that was too rough. That was too harsh. But it struggled from the outset, including multiple management shakeups, a bankruptcy in 2006, and a sale for $4.25 million the following year. Air America went off the air Thursday afternoon. They're running reruns, but that'll be off Monday. So they haven't been able to talk to anybody who's been in charge of it. And they said they had a painstaking search for new investors, almost had some, but it fell short. You know, people, you know, talk about, why don't, you know, Air America, which was a, quote, progressive-type station, has been able to launch, though, others. There's, you know, there are progressive shows out there that you can pull in off of different affiliates. But this one was the flagship. This is the one that was launched to fight Rush Limbaugh and Hannity and, of course, us. And so I hope people notice that as soon as we came on the air and we lit up the skies in the North State, that Air America gave up the fight and rolled over and declared bankruptcy.
Well, okay. Can I change the subject a little bit and ask you something?
You change it totally.
Well, let me just ask your opinion on this, and I really would love to get our caller's input. 605-4567, that is our hotline. Is it my imagination, or every time we turn around, is it really, it seems like a state of emergency is declared everywhere? I remember I grew up right south of Placerville, and we used to get snowed in for 3 and 4 days. Out came the Coleman stove, couldn't go anywhere, and sometimes the snow plows did not make it to our house because we lived a mile off of the main road, which was two lanes. Was there ever a state of emergency declared then? What is this about? I mean, Siskiyou County, okay, I know people have lost their I don't know, am I numb? What do you think?
Well, there's a lot of, there have been states of emergency, and they've been used, but I would hope that there's certain qualifications that say, there's so much damage. There's so many homes without electricity. There's so many, the infrastructure has been damaged so that they have to declare a state of emergency. And what that does is turns loose funds and people to go up there and help. And without that declaration, they're going to have to take longer to get to it. And there may be a difference between a snowstorm when you're out in the country and it takes you 3 days to get a snowplow and then, something that destroys infrastructure and can have a permanent effect on people if they don't get help. That's what I'm looking at.
All right. I just needed the breakdown because, not Governor Brown, but Attorney General Jerry Brown, who was acting as governor, issued the declaration Thursday afternoon for Siskiyou. And they, at that point, had 6,100 homes and businesses without power. Mount Shasta residents were digging out from up to 6 feet of wet snow. It buckled down power lines, trees 10 feet into some places, and more snow is expected to accumulate over the weekend. I'm not without power. Hey, last night at rehearsal, I did hear, though, through Pat's daughter, her husband, it was in McLeod, and they live off the grid. And I mean, when they live off the grid, they had no electricity, and it got to be so cold that she left at 5 o'clock at night, and it took her to get to McLeod and back till 2 a.m. just to go get him and bring him back because it was getting too cold. Why they didn't have wood or, we have friends that live off the grid, and they are very well prepared. In fact, we should do a show about that. He makes his own fuel. He probably wants to call in and come out of town and call in where they really get a good
Part of the thing, we're going to be having here in a week or two is that our urban survival course, and we're talking with people right now, is how do you survive a natural disaster if they declare an emergency and nobody comes to help you. Can you help yourself? Can you survive? Can you make your life semi-comfortable so that nothing really bad is going to happen to you? And you can do that through preparation. But many people, I'd say most of us, are not prepared for something as simple as electricity going off for, say, a week. What if it went off for a week? You know, can you keep warm? Can you will you be able to pump water? Will there be water? It's going to be something that I hope that covers all gamuts, that covers all facets of people at all ages, to give out some information so that you're able to just do some planning ahead. You know, something as simple as medicine, something as simple as batteries and flashlights around your house, and a little checklist that we'll provide that you can use.
Very simply, are you ready?
That's right. Okay, we're going to take a quick break here. It's Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, and KCNR 1460. Your phone lines here are 605-4567.
Master, I have...
Great lead-in.
Carl and the Bot on Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460. Phone lines here are 605-4567. Let's go to the phones. Mike, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys this morning?
Well, you know what? We're standing upright, so it must be okay.
Well, I'm sitting, so...
That sounds better.
Good morning.
I just wanted to let you guys know, calling about OGR and their partnership with Loaves and Fishes and Trader Joe's again, about the food giveaway for the vets out there, and we've made a slight time change.
Okay.
The food gets in there earlier and earlier, so we'll be distributing food on Sunday... Every Sunday for vets, and those non-vets that we have food for, from 9 to 10 o'clock Sunday morning.
And where will that be?
It will be at the parking lot, behind Tobacco and Brew.
Right.
And we'd like to thank those folks for letting us use their parking lot. And when the weather's like it is today, they've allowed us to occupy your space.
Well, it's their space, but, yeah, thanks.
Yeah,
okay, Mike, when you say OGR, that's the Old Guard Riders.
Old Guard Riders.
And you all have had this food giveaway for our veterans in need for, it's been months now.
Oh, I think we're going on about 7 months now.
Yeah, okay, I know it's been going on. And then Joe and Shelley from Tobacco and Brew, of course, have been supporting this by giving space.
Yes, and again, we are really appreciative of them being lenient like that.
Well, you can't say enough about the way they support the veterans and people in need in this town.
All right.
Okay.
We've, without going to the book, I think we're probably feeding, not every week, but we have about 200 people that are vets and non-vets that are registered already.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, if there's excess food, I know there was a number of vets over at the Lorenz. We take all the remaining food over to the Lorenz Hotel for those folks. And we've adopted another group where there are some homebound vets. And we're also serving probably half a dozen homebound vets from Red Bluff and Cottonwood on up to here.
Right.
Setting. So it's been way better than I thought it was ever going to be.
Well, you know, the riders, the Old Guard riders, and the other people have been supporting the veterans like this. And, you know, it's too bad that it has to be done, but thank God it's being done.
Yeah, no kidding. So, for all that go to waste.
Now, the veterans that you run into, are they in the system, Mike?
You mean the VA system?
Yeah, the VA system.
Some are and some aren't. You know, if we find somebody that, or if they ask questions, because we have additional needs slot on the waiver,
uh-huh.
that we try to direct them to the VA and how to go through the process.
Right. Well, maybe we can get a representative down at the VA from the VA in there some Sunday morning and see if they can't help, because, you know, some people don't know the benefits they have. Some are, you know, maybe afraid to go there for whatever reason. Maybe they can meet them halfway on something like this.
That'd be good.
You know, maybe
right. You know, some don't have a clue.
That's right. You know, so we'll go to the VA and see if we can't get, you know, maybe one of their reps out there on a Sunday every so often.
That'd be great.
Okay, so that's going to be from what, 9 to 10?
9 to 10.
At Tobacco and Brew in the back parking lot. Unless it's raining, then it's inside their really fancy meeting room they have there.
Correct.
Okay.
All right.
If you're grungy, give me a call. I'll come down and mop the floors.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot, Mike.
All right. You guys take care.
Thanks.
You bet. You know, speaking of tobacco and brew.
Today. Every Friday.
Every Friday. We're having our internet show today. And today, I think it's going to, you know, this is going to be a wide open show. We're going to be talking about the impact of Tuesday's election in Massachusetts when Senator Brown goes to Washington, and that impact, that one election, that impact it has had already on issues facing Congress. Nancy Pelosi stood up yesterday and said she didn't have the votes to push through the health care vote on the Senate plan. And her face was not happy.
And she stumbled a lot.
And she stumbled all over her words, you know. And we're experts at that.
I'll give you an A.
Yeah. The other thing, too, is that, the American people, a poll was taken, and the American people, by a large majority, said that 55%, okay, it's not a large majority, but 55% favor Congress putting brakes on the current health care reform efforts and considering alternatives. 4 in 10 Americans would rather have House and Senate Democrats continue to try to pass the bill currently. So you got 40% that want to and 55% say, hey, hang on for a minute. Now, here's the thing. If President Obama would take a leaf out of Clinton's playbook, he could take a step back and go forward and say, you know, there are parts of this health bill, this health care bill, that everybody wants. And that's absolutely true. You know, keeping people from not having insurance from a pre-existing condition, you lose your job at one place, you pick up a job in another that they have insurance there, and they won't cover you because you had a condition that was covered by your last insurance company. Absolutely wrong. Absolutely wrong. You know, there are changes that need to be made to this system. And we do need to take a look at, you know, you don't have a condition, but they're treated for it. And then all of a sudden, okay, you've reached your limits. We're not going to treat that any longer. Wrong, wrong, wrong. It's got to be a quicker and a simpler way for people to work their way through this morass of health care bureaucracy. So that's got to be fixed. But everything to be thrown out? No. And the people said no. And unfortunately, unfortunately, some people have not gotten that yet. You hear it on the national news, and you hear comments. This election was not a national, you know, turner. This was just a local election, and she ran a bad election. Well, they said that in New Jersey, and they said that in Virginia, and now they're saying it in Massachusetts, where the people of Massachusetts have decided to use their votes to put Senator Brown in the seat to represent them. And no, it wasn't Teddy Kennedy's seat. It was the people of Massachusetts' seat. So there's got to be changes. You can see it happening already. The moderate Democrats are taking steps back. There are senators who have voted for this horrendous package, this 2,000-page package, that are already shaking in their boots because they voted for a package that's not going anywhere. They spent their political capital, as did President Obama, and it's failed. So where do you go now? Where do you do now, President Obama? Well, it looks like he's starting on the banks. He's going to go back and fight the banks. He's going out today to Ohio to talk about needed jobs. You want to talk about unemployment? You're going to a place that's got 10.6. Why don't you come out here to the North State where we got like 20% unemployment? Come out and talk to us. Come out and say what you're going to do for us. Tell us you're going to let us, you know, ease up these restrictions that keep us from working out here. You've even taken away the ability to dredge. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Free Fire Radio. Join us after these messages.
Saw its earnings grow, as did
Good morning, Reading in the North State. If your feet are just hitting the ground, this is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Currently 43 degrees, cloudy with chances of shower. Weather is always brought to you by Ensalmo Vineyards. Get it? Give me a Whopper, fries, and a beer? That's right. a brewski at the new Whopper Bar. Served in special aluminum bottles to keep them extra cold, fetches $4.25, or order beer as part of a Whopper combo, and your bill will be $7.99, roughly $2 more than the same combo meal with a fountain drink. That's right. They are going to be opening Burger King, but it's going to be called the Whopper Bar. That's right. They're going to test it in South Beach. So there you go. Did you know that they are going to...
The Whopper Bar?
It's going to be called the Whopper Bar.
That just opens up so many connotations.
I have to tell you some of the hot stuff that's going on. Here's another thing. How do you feel about the plane that landed in the Hudson River is going on the block for sale? You, too, can have a piece of the plane that landed in the Hudson River, a really big piece of real estate. Elizabeth Edwards is coming out with her feelings, discussing her husband's recent revelations. I think the revelations is a wrong word, but, you know, who discusses you more, John Edwards or Tiger Woods? I mean, click on that bar. I want to know about that. Also, here's something that's very... Yeah.
Okay. Tiger Woods was much more of a disappointment than John Edwards, because John Edwards was a politician, and I've heard him speaking, and he was such a sleaze before. That doesn't surprise me, the things he did. Tiger Woods, I was kind of surprised.
Okay.
I think you'll find most people are much more disappointed by Tiger Woods having all these problems that he's had than they are about John Edwards. Because I think down deep, people don't trust politicians.
Okay.
In many cases.
Okay. It's always disappointing when you're just lied to. Just flat out lied, denied. There's going to be a tell-all book from supposedly one of his very close associates that he begged and I'm sure paid lots of money to help with the cover-up, who's coming out with a tell-all book. So I don't know if you like that kind of thing. In Red Bluff, two Washington residents were arrested Thursday by the California Highway Patrol south of Corning after 40 pounds of heroin were found by a drug-sniffing dog. I'm telling you what, it's out there, it's rampant, and you know what's going up and down the 5 corridor.
Well, you know, here's my question. Did they have like a light out? Did they have like a tail light out? The car just happened to stop, and then the police casually walked up there to ask for proof of ownership, and they asked for, okay, can I see your license? And then kind of, oh, you know what, we're going to have our dog sniff your car.
And it was was hidden. Okay, the heroin valued at $1.8 million was hidden in the vehicle's dashboard compartment.
Well, you know, was it because that there was like little traces of powder all over the dashboard? You know, when you see things like this, you know, we've had the Highway Patrol on before, and they've asked, and you know, we've asked, okay, how do you find these things? And it seems kind of lucky. They said, no, you know, we're trained to go up and you notice things, you know, and you know, just certain things that are happening inside the car are just indicators, and then they start asking questions, and they start asking more questions. Yeah, Bob.
I cannot 100% verify this, but I have a individual who was in law enforcement. Have you noticed in the news the number of drug busts between Redding and Shasta Lake there in the Mountain Gate area? An inordinate number if you look at the stats, that a number of the cars get pulled over. There's a couple of reasons for that. First of all, once you've got them in that pocket, they can't get out. There's no place to go. But according to this source, and I have no reason to disbelieve his story, there's a traffic camera down there about Cottonwood that is scanning license plates, and known dealers and associates of dealers are in a database. And if that camera catches the plate, a cruiser pulls up and gets behind them, and if they see anything hinky, they get probable cause and pull them over. I got mixed feelings about that. First of all, I want all the drugs off the street. Second of all, it scares the bejeebers out of me that technology is out there.
Well, if it is, then you just let the cat out of the bag there. So, I guess you warned everybody, Bob.
I have no proof.
Well, you know, the thing is it's just, you know, you just found, how much was it, a pound and a half? And the dog found it, of heroin. So, or four, was it 40 pounds?
No, big 4-0.
Oh, 4-0. Okay, 40 pounds. Anyway, I know that the police are trained to do it, which, by the way, you know, it's not profiling because they're looking at somebody and they're talking to them, which is, if we go back into the, you know, the training of our TSA employees instead of relying on equipment that doesn't work all the time, as we talked about in an earlier show, the way to find bad guys and bad women is to have your people trained to be able to look at them.
By the way, just to close that up, they were pulled over for a speed violation.
Oh, okay. I bet they were doing probably at least 66, maybe 71.
I don't know if you care to hear about this, but I do care to hear, and I want to share this with you. Before we take a quick break here, you know, if you're traveling and you have to stay in a hotel, there are things that people look at, TripAdvisor has gone online to talk about the top 10 dirtiest hotels across the United States. And what they go by is they look for, you know, the stairwells, the mattresses, the bed bugs, stuff in the hallway. And there are two in California. Days Inn and Eureka at Six Flags is in Missouri, Tropical Resort Hotel in Virginia Beach, Quality Inn in Pennsylvania, New York downtown, the Parisian Hotel Suite in Miami Beach, the Capistrano Seaside Inn at Capistrano Beach, California, surprised me. Desert Lodge, Palm Springs, California, and Continental Oceanfront Hotel, South Beach, Miami.
We're heading to Palm Springs in the end of March.
We're not going to be staying there.
Yeah, find out where we're not going to stay.
Yeah, we're not going to stay there. So anyway, they go by bed bugs and, you know, mattresses that are kind of gross and all that kind of thing. We've got to take a break. This is Carla Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. The Ensemble.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. Our website's KCNR 1460. Our guest today is going to be Larry Lee, Shasta County Administrative Officer. We're going to talk about what happened last year in Shasta County and what can we expect this year with the cuts in the revenue coming in. What are we going to do? What are we looking at? What are the hard decisions that are going to have to be made? What are we doing to help businesses? What are we doing to bring businesses back to the North State? You know, we can only take so many double-digit figures in unemployment and so many cuts before things are really going to get serious around here. Some bad news here in town. We've had another business, and, you know, speaking of business, an entertainment lighting company, Morpheus Lights, is leaving Reading. Yeah. It has 8 employees. It's going to be leaving late April, the chief operating officer, Mark Fedo, said. Now, this is a pretty big, you know, these guys provided lights, fixed lighting systems for some of the biggest acts in music, including Bruce Springsteen, Ringo Starr, Garth Brooks, Metallica, Styx, REO Speedwagon, Broadway, and the Academy Awards. And what they said is that, you know, they're just, you know, they're going to consolidate into Las Vegas. They moved up here from the Bay Area years ago. Now, the one thing that they've done that is really great is they have offered all of their employees a job in Vegas.
Cool.
If they want to move. Well, you know, of course, some of them don't because they're just like us. Once you get into Reading, you like Reading. You don't want to go back into places like Las Vegas or the Bay Area or, you know, big cities. But they have offered it.
But there's a lot of work as far as what they do in Las Vegas. It seems to make sense.
Yeah, and they had, like I said, they did it. They said, you know, things are tough, but they're consolidating their facilities there. They still have an office in New York, but it's too bad. It's something else that's leaving the town. It's more jobs lost. It's more tax revenue going away. We do have another announcement today that Steve Carlton is going to be running for DA. He made a formal announcement yesterday. He's going to be running against District Attorney Jerry Venito. There was another Democrat that was running, Josh Lowry. And we'd had Josh on our show on Friday, on one of our Friday internet shows. But he has changed his mind, and he has turned it over to Steve Carlton. So we will be having Steve on our show here in a couple of weeks on a Friday, and then we'll be going to the Internet Cafe, our Internet Cafe over at Tobacco and Brew for our Internet show and our town hall meeting after that. It'll be, I think, the Friday after next. So people will be able to get to know Mr. Carlton, who used to be the district attorney here in town.
I think it was in the 80s.
He was appointed, I believe, after the last district attorney left.
Yeah, so that's really cool. We're going to be taking your call, 605-4567, coming up at the 8 o'clock hour, Larry Lee. So if you have questions for Larry, and we're going to be discussing a lot of topics here, do give us a call, 605-4567. If you don't want to call, you can go to our website, KCNR1460, and drop us an email. We can read that, interact that way. I don't know how many of you loved this movie, but I was a huge fan and still am a huge fan of the movie Oliver Stone's Wall Street. Well, it seems that they're doing a sequel. And Greed is back, and so is Gecko. So I think it's so appropriate because it's after the crash. And, there again, there's Michael Douglas coming back probably after he did some major prison time.
In the
Wall Street movie. I love that film. It was on the other night, and what did I watched it. I just love the filming of that movie, and about the little guy comes up and he doesn't do it the right way, and he does it, and he came up fast, and he was
Charlie Sheen, wasn't it? Charlie Sheen, who, by the way, Charlie Sheen, who has learned his lessons during the movie, has been in jail in and out of time so many times that he's become our bad guy du jour. That if you've got a wife and if you're upset with her, call Charlie. He'll come over and hit her for
Stop.
You.
Stop.
All right, maybe it's not that bad. Hey, by the way, going back to this DA's race with Steve Carlton and Jerry Bonito. Stand by. This is going to be – the gloves are off already, and you can already see it happening. There's already – the punches are being thrown, and they
you
are –
You feel the smell of smoke in
the
air.
Oh, yeah, they are – if you think this is going to be a gentle race, you might want to take a step back and clear your nostrils because it's going to roll. Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Join us after these breaks.
Welcome back. This is Carla Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. We have Joe Adamson on the phone from Addison's Peak Performance. Do you have our fitness tip for Friday?
I do. How are you guys this morning?
We're great.
Good. My fitness tip is to think big. Many times people put limitations on what they can do physically. A lot of times I hear things like, I can't run anymore, I can't squat anymore, I'm too old for this, I'm too old for that. And, we all tend to do that, and we're all guilty of sabotaging ourselves with this kind of negative thinking. We have a small group personal training program here, and one of the rules is can't is a four-letter word, and can't be uttered during the class. Just because we can't do something today, we're not capable maybe of running 6 miles today, doesn't mean we can't run 6 miles next November if we put our mind to it. I think a great example of that is the Biggest Loser show on television, where these morbidly obese people start out just, they can't, run 100 feet, and 6 months later they run a marathon. So it's just, my point today is don't put limitations, maybe just because you can't do it today, don't limit yourself. You can accomplish amazing things. And I want to give just four quick ways to accomplish this. One is to change your mindset. Two is to become a student of whatever you're trying to accomplish. If you want to run a marathon, become a study marathon, study shoes, study exercise physiology. How are you going to accomplish this? The third thing is use progressive steps, just one step at a time. And lastly, get some help and encouragement from a trainer or a spouse or a friend or a running club or other people that can push you along and help you out.
Great. We love the inspiration, Joe. We are going to start having Joe call in every Friday and give us just a good quick a brush me up of why should we be working out. Just keep yourself physically fit, and we love Adams's Peak Performance. And, Joe, you do a great job. Thanks for the call this Friday.
Thanks, Linda.
Take care.
Talk to you later.
And in our studio today, we have two very special people from the Riverfront Playhouse. We have the director, Maria Spencer Drake, from a new show coming out called Murder Me, Murder Me Not, and the wonderful Matt McDonald. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, tell our listeners, tell our people here, why should we come to the play? We're marking this on our calendar because we want to first support Riverfront Playhouse, but tell us about the show.
Well, the show is a very funny comedy. It's a murderless murder mystery in which everyone that's involved in the characters and stuff are all in cahoots with each other to get the insurance money of the not-dead guy. And they're all just working together to kind of outdo each other to get this money so that they can run off and be, footloose and fancy free, but the characters are all very, very funny, and we have a trick couch in which dead bodies are flying in and out of the couch, and it's just a very wonderfully funny, very feel-good kind of comedy, and the actors are fantastic. Matt plays the Ambrose Brinks, who is the love interest / investigator, which no one knows. So he's very, very funny, and he's supposed to be like the straight guy pretending to be, so.
Matt.
Yes.
Tell us about who you studied as a character for this part.
Oh, gosh. I think, all of my parts are a little like Don Knotts-ish with, as suave as you can be.
Say no more.
Yeah, thank you. Exactly.
Oh, how wonderful, man. That's great. I heard so many wonderful things about you. You're quite
thanks.
The talent in town, and everybody always talks about you. Now, Maria, how many plays have you directed?
This is my fifth.
At the Riverfront Playhouse?
At the Riverfront Playhouse.
Okay, that's exciting. So when you get the book, and how did you find this property?
I went online to Eldridge Plays. I kind of go all over to all the different places. And I just, at Eldridge, they allow me to read part of the script before I buy it. And so I like them. So I just started reading it, enjoyed the funny comedy part of it, and the quirkiness of it. And so bought it and just read the whole thing and fell in love. So that's how I find them.
Now, it kicks off tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night.
Opening.
7:30. Yeah. Yes, opening.
Opening. Okay, and then it goes to February 20th. So where do we get tickets? And tell us about matinees and anything special that's going on.
Matinees are at 2 o'clock, and we buy the tickets at?
Graphic Emporium. And, yeah, come out and support the Riverfront. It's a great little place. They're working to get into a new theater. It's a fun show. Couldn't have a better time. So, yeah, it's worth a nice little evening of entertainment.
Well, I have an invitation for the two of you. And also for all the cast members. When you have your performances, call us and let us know. Okay, come and remember, want to remind you, there's a matinee today. And just call
sure.
in. Have an interactiveness because we all get really busy.
Right.
And before you know it, snap, a month has gone by and we've missed a performance.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Well, it's every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday until the 20th of February.
Okay. Anything that you would like to add? What's coming up?
The next show is Butterflies Are Free. It's directed by Joan Scott, a good friend of mine, and she, that's a very good kind of comedy, drama about a young, blind man that's trying to find his way, living on his own.
Okay, well, the show we're talking about currently is Murder Me, Murder Me Not, Riverfront Playhouse, opens tomorrow night. How much are the tickets?
Tickets are $15. Opening and closing are $20, but there's free food and drinks.
Yes.
So on opening and closing. So please come out and support. And the champagne is flowing on opening and closing.
Wow.
And
no show. So it was Super Bowl Sunday.
No,
right?
Super Bowl Sunday.
Okay. No strife and houses.
Yeah. Because we know everybody wants to watch Super Bowl, including my people.
Because you learn the hard way, right?
Yes.
Right,
yes.
Right.
How many times have you done a performance? No one's in the house, but you're there, and you know
None.
Where everybody is.
Right.
None.
Right.
We've only had one show where we had It was like 30 people show up. And our cutoff is if there's only 20, we give them back their money and send them home. But we've never had that. So we've always been very lucky.
It's Murder Me, Murder Me Not, beginning tomorrow night, January 23rd at the Riverfront Playhouse. Break a leg.
Thank you so much.
Is that still okay?
Yes, absolutely. That's what you're supposed to say.
All right, break a leg.
You don't say, you know, congratulations or good luck.
That's what I thought. This is Carl and Linda Bott. You've been listening to Free Fire Radio. Coming up right after Fox News is Larry Lees. This is KCNR 1460. KCNR Shasta Redding.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR, 1460 AM. Phone line 0605-4567. What a way to start us up. Mom makes her kid smash his hamster.
It was on Fox News, and I'm listening to Fox News as we're coming in, and I'm going, did I really just hear that?
Well, yeah.
You know, if it's on Fox News, it must be fair and balanced.
Good morning.
Hey, our guest today is a man that knows everything about Shasta County. He has the answer for it all. And our phone lines here are 605-4567. Larry Lees.
Thank you, Carl. Linda, it's good to be here. Appreciate the opportunity.
Good to have you
Your
here.
Exact title is?
County Administrative Officer. There's 58 of us throughout the state of California. There's 58 counties, so there's 58 CAOs.
Well, you know, if this had been like the school system, there would have been 58 counties and 4,000 superintendents. Oh, no answer to that one.
Having been on a board of education for over 20 years, yeah, I understand what you're saying.
All right, you know, some of the points we want to make today are I want to talk just a little bit about last year and what happened last year. And then we want to get into, what do we see that's happening this year? And then we want to talk some business and a couple other things, too, Larry.
You bet.
We are taking your calls, 605-4567, if you have a question for Larry, please call.
Send us an email to carl@kcnr1460.com. Okay, Larry, tell us a little bit about last year.
Well, certainly the budget is on the minds of everybody, the state budget, and I think it's important to understand the differences between city and county. We read the news yesterday where the city of Redding is having to make some adjustments in their budget, and certainly the county, it's a continuous process. It's a very fluid dynamic that's happening right now. And I think it's important to understand the difference between the cities and the counties, because whereas we have some similarities in that we have police, they have police. We have sheriff, they have police. We have fire, they have fire. We have streets and roads, they have streets and roads, things like that. It stops shortly after that, whereas the county continues. We have the social services. We have the certainly the coroner's office, the district attorney's office, the public defender's office. You think about it that I control the budget for these two offices to fight each other. And, of course, we have the jail, and it goes on and on. We have the river rescues. We have the lake rescues, some very strong individuals that put their lives on the line every day for things like that. So we go a lot further. We have the child protective services, the adult protective services. It goes quite a bit further. The reason that's important is because what happens is about 70% of our budget is controlled by the state and the feds, and we have absolutely no discretion of how we can spend that. Whereas a city might have more opportunity or at least a larger discretionary, percentage-wise, discretionary budget, we do not. So we only have about 30% of our budget that's discretionary. And, of course, the majority of that always goes to public safety.
All right. So 70% of the budget is directed then by state or feds.
Correct.
Do they give us any money to do these things?
Yeah, they do. This is what happened last year, and this is where you began this question with, what happened to us last year. And, of course, if you remember, the state budget ended up being about $40 billion in the red. Now, when they say that, that's not how much debt they are in. That's their operating budget. Their operating budget was $40 billion short, and that's out of a $105 billion operating budget. So the majority, well, not the majority, but certainly 40% of their budget was upside down. What's going on as we enter this new year is they are now $20 billion in the hole. They thought they had it fixed. Some of the things that they thought were going to come about did not. And so now they're coming back and saying, we've got to plug this other $20 billion gap. And that's what Governor Schwarzenegger is trying to do. And unfortunately, he's trying to do that on the backs of a lot of the county services. And to give you one quick example, They want to release low-level offenders from the penitentiaries. Well, in my opinion, there are no low-level offenders in the penitentiaries.
We're looking at 6,500 from the last thing I read.
Right.
We're going to take a quick break here. And when we come back, I want to talk about the state taking money from us, and that there's been some legislation suggested to keep them from doing that. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Not with that music. KCNR 1460. You know what? Don't play that music. It makes me feel like there goes the board again, going down.
Here, no,
the engineer's
like
rolling in here with plungers.
You know, it sounded like a bad kazoo.
Or something like that. You know, what happened to Streets of Fire? What happened to Eddie and the Cruisers?
Yeah.
What happened to, Steel
Journey.
Cowboy? Journey. You know, Bob, you've gotten us so spoiled. Our guest today is Larry Lee, Shasta County Administrative Officer. There's only 58 of them in the whole state, which is good. Because, like I said, if they've been in the school system, there have been 4,000 of them. I know. I just have to keep pushing that.
Should we go to the phones?
Yeah, I think so. Ed.
Yes, how you doing? I just had to turn down. There's a little. I got your live feed now. Bob just helped me with that.
Excellent.
But there's a. The system isn't quite perfect because I had to turn off that to listen to you. Anyway, good morning.
Good morning.
Where are you at, Ed?
Oak Run.
Okay.
Still. And I'm sorry, I've only been hearing on and off Mr. Lee's comments, but he's still there, I take it?
He's still here.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry, this is kind of a specific question, and I don't mean to put him on the spot, but he probably can answer this. As you know, I had some interest in the local utility situation.
Yes.
And as to tax receipts, I understand that Reading Electric Utility pays in-lieu fees to the city to make up for the lack of tax payments. Does it make payments like this to the county? And if so, why not? Or if not, why not?
Are you talking about the utility company is making those payments?
Reading Electric Utility, yeah.
I'm not familiar with the Reading Electric making. I'm not saying they don't. I'm just not familiar with it.
Yeah, so they make in lieu fees to the city of Reading supposedly to make up for the lack of tax receipts for their property. But shouldn't the county also get some sort of fees on those taxes?
You know, the county in the past have received fees for different things. And Williamson Act is one of them, and I know we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But the utilities for those. When a major utility comes in to take over and we lose the tax receipts, property tax, things like that, there are some differences that are made up by the federal government, or at least laws within the federal government that do that. And certainly when we see utilities pulling out and the potential loss of that, that becomes part of a bargaining chip or negotiating tool.
I got you, but I mean, REU has been there a long time. PG&E has to pay property taxes and all their property in the county, right?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
But REU doesn't?
To the county, the property taxes that are paid, and you can every dollar property tax that's paid, it comes back to the county at about 13 cents. So when you're paying those property taxes, we get very little of it anyway. That's the same.
No, I understand that, but it's a major source of revenue for the county, is it?
No. 70% of our budget comes from state and federal programs. 30% is discretionary dollars, and out of that 30%, there's probably maybe half of that is property tax. It's not major at all.
Well, that's interesting in itself.
That's the same with sales tax, also, Ed.
With what tax?
Sales tax.
Sales tax.
You know, when you look at that's the sales tax and property tax is probably the biggest point of discretionary revenue for the cities and the counties. And when you look at the potential for sales tax within the county, it's kind of the good news, bad news, whereas the county does not have a lot of sales tax generators. For instance, we don't get TOT, tourist operating tax on houseboats and things like that. We don't have a whole lot of hotels that are outside city limits. So, and then when you look at the retail that's outside city limits, we don't have a significant amount of retail, especially compared to the big box stores in the cities. So when you look at the differences, it's kind of the good news, bad news. The good news was we did not depend a lot on those sales tax revenues because we didn't get a lot. That's the bad news is we didn't get a lot. But where it helped us is when we had this downturn in the economy. We weren't hit as heavy as some of the cities. Where we were hit was the state's budget and their deficit, and now the state's coming back taking money from us.
I got you, but just to make this clear, I understand what you're saying is the sales tax and property taxes are a small part of your budget, but it's a pretty significant part of the state's total income in order for them to share these revenues with you, right?
Well, no, because the property tax itself, what comes back from the state through their property tax is 13 cents on the dollar for Shasta County. That's not every county, but that's what it is for Shasta County.
But the state keeps the other 87 cents.
Right.
That is a significant point. I'm not disputing you. I'm just saying that I wasn't aware of that particular breakdown.
Yeah.
But and the point is, you said the majority of your income was in state payments. Those state payments ultimately are made up of not just property and sales taxes, but income taxes and other taxes.
Well, that's correct. And actually, yeah. The major part of the payments are coming from the federal. It's coming from the federal government in social service type activities.
Really, the majority of Shasta County's budget
for those special programs. Yeah. Now, keep in mind, of that 87% that the state gets in your property tax dollar, the majority of that goes right back to public education, which is, of course, good for the county. Now, it doesn't go into the county government. We have, you know, as a county jurisdiction, we don't have any regulations.
It goes directly to the school districts.
Goes directly to the school districts.
Yeah.
So out of that 87 cents, 13 cents goes to the county. Another 50% of that goes to, well, the 50 cents left goes straight to public education. And so then you're dealing with another 37% or so that the state has as far as their discretionary funds. That's just on the property tax.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for the info. Yeah.
Well, Ed, thanks for your phone call, and we're still working the stream, and keep in touch here.
Yeah, I'll keep checking. I just happened to check today, and I called in because I couldn't find it. But for whatever reason, maybe as I logged in now it's going directly to the live stream. Again, I'm not getting the news or the commercials, but I understand the way it's supposed to work. So
yep, that's the way it's supposed to work.
Okay, until it's completely set up, yeah.
Okay, thanks
all right.
A lot, Ed.
Bye.
Take care. Bye. Okay, before we take a break, we just got to, you know, you can enter the contest down for Kubler's love seat. They're giving away a love seat. And you do that by going to our website, KCNR 1460, and you go down to the picture of Linda and I on the love seat.
In a heart,
and just you click on that. Now, one of the things that happens, you just enter the contest that way. And it's a beautiful love seat, but people are also sending me messages via that way, too. And for Ricky, that H.R. 45 that it keeps coming around, that's supposed to be a way of taking our weapons away, that you sent me this, that bill is dead. Nothing's happening. I've talked to Wally Herger's reps. This thing was introduced years ago and has never gotten out of committee. So you need to research that a little bit more. And for other people is that H.R. 45 is not anywhere close to being passed. Carl Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460.
Termites of the
Welcome back. It's Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. This is KCNR 1460, and our special guest today is Larry Leese. We're taking your call, 605-4567, and, of course, always your emails. Larry, good morning.
Good morning.
And could you explain bait and switch, California style?
Yeah, that's a term that people have heard me say before, so I'm not surprised it didn't come up. You know, what the state of California is trying to do is balance their budget. And as I said earlier, right now for this next 18 months, they're $20 billion in the hole. That's not the debt that's in California. Every year, the California debt payment is $6 billion before any money goes back out to the communities. So what they do is they try to get more discretionary money because so much of that money is earmarked. They try to change it. And I call it a kind of a bait and switch, but I'll give you a perfect example of that. We have some money within the community that we receive from the state for public safety. Typically, the majority goes to sheriffs. But that would be, it's called cops money, it's called rural sheriff's money, there's different categories. That's designated for those categories. Well, last year, typically, again, the state cannot really control that money, but they needed to fix their budget deficit. So they took that money back, but since legally they couldn't really just take it back, they said, no, we're just going to exchange it for vehicle license fee money, a percentage of vehicle license fee. Well, so what happens, they take all that money back, And then they say, don't worry, sheriffs, we're going to make you whole. You get this 27, you get this money from the vehicle license fee, and that'll make up for it. Well, I'll ask you and to ask your callers how many have bought new cars in the past 12 months in this environment. And, you know, that's kind of just to say, we know that the economy is not well. Vehicle license fees have gone way, way down. So the money that was supposed to go for the cops and the rural sheriffs is now 27% short because they did this, and I'll call it bait and switch, where they said the funding for those programs are now going to come out of vehicle license fee. They do that to give them more discretionary dollars. So much of California's money is dedicated, earmarked by proposition. That was the big battle last year. They were trying to take some transportation money from us. That was designated to us by Prop 42 as for transportation. And what happens, they were going to borrow it to offset the general fund. They were sued, and then they found out they couldn't borrow it to offset the general fund. So they look for these unique ways to switch money around, make it come from different pots. But we end up being shorted.
What are we looking at this year?
Right now, and this year's not over. It's very, very fluid. But as I said, with a $20 billion gap that the state has to solve over the next 18 months, and that, again, means that they're running in the red right now. And if they don't do something they've got about 6 months before they will actually run out of cash if they don't do something.
Isn't there legislation that's been introduced to keep them from taking money from the city and counties?
There's legislation sort of that does that, and I will bring you to Prop 1A. And what Prop 1A says is that if the state is going to take money from the counties and cities, then they have to pay it back within 3 years. So that makes, and they can do this twice within a 10-year period of time. So they can actually take money from the counties that's owed to the counties. They could take that money and then pay it back in 3 years and then borrow it again that fourth year for another 3 years. So counties could really be out 6 years. Now, we did something. Prop 1A was to make sure that you at least got the money paid back. They did take that money last year. Now, we did something. We jumped in and was pretty active here to where we were able to borrow that money that they took with absolutely no interest, and it was guaranteed so that we never have to pay it back.
On a typical day, what kind of telephone calls do you get?
You know, that's the beauty of the job, because the diversity is just fantastic. Keep in mind, we have weights and measures. You know, we pay the guy to wear a wetsuit and swim up the creek counting trout. We make sure that your gallon of gas that you pay for at the local gas station is actually a full gallon of gas. We have the weights and measures. We make sure the strawberries that are exported or imported are clean of diseases so nothing else is contaminated. And of course, you know, we have the coroner's office. We have the tax, the assessor's office.
The DA's office.
The DA's office, right.
How many people do you oversee?
Right now we have a little under 1,700 employees. Keep in mind now, 3 or 4 years ago, we had closer to 1,900. So there's been a significant drop-off with the economy. I'm very fortunate to say it. My goal was to save as many jobs as possible. And I think it's fortunate to say that that reduction has, for the most part, come in just normal attrition. What we did 2 years ago, we saw this steam wreck coming, or this train wreck coming. In December of 2007, the board followed my direction, and I appreciate their support. We had a hiring freeze to where every Monday I meet with the staff, and we look at any new employee that may be coming on board or any position, and we first look to see if it could be filled by a laid-off position.
Great.
And so because of that, out of those 250 or so that we've reduced, we've actually only had 27 leave the payroll out of the last 2.5 years. Now, if you're one of those 27s, it doesn't matter if it's one or 1,000. That's bad, and we have to avoid that.
And we're going to be taking a break here in a bit, but one of the things I want to talk about is the cuts and what you think is going to be happening here. I realize it's a fluid, and I am trying to pin you down, is what happens if we lose another, you know, 10% or 15% on it? Right now, the tax revenues for the city are down 17%. I realize you don't get hit that hard because, as you've explained earlier, but we need to do is project that, because, you know, we're talking first response, you know, and something near and dear to my heart, of course, is the VA office, which needs to be addressed. We're changing over to a new gent down there, and, you know, Dave Lanford's leaving, and that's going to be a huge thing. So We need to address that. We need to talk about the amount of money that, you know, it's coming in, you know, from the, coming in from the feds, and especially during this time frame when things are so tough, and you know people, you know how people are using that. This is Carl and Linda Bott. We're here on Free Fire Radio. Our guest is Larry Lees, the Shasta County Administrative Officer. If you've got a question, give us a call. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
You're over there marching. I thought for a minute you were going to put your hand up to your to start to salute for a moment.
I want Eddie in the cruisers, but you know, he's over there. He's fighting me. Bob is being passive-aggressive this morning. Tobacco and Brew, our place of choice. Finest walk-in humidor in the North State. Espresso Joe, get the coffee. We're going to be down there today at noontime. Join us at noon. We have a lunch down there, a great lunch for $5 and places to sit. It's really a wonderful place down there. And we're going to be talking about the impact on of one election on the fabric and the future of our country with Senator from Massachusetts being elected and the huge impact that has had already in 3 days. Where is it going? And not only that, what kind of impact did the Tea Party, We the People, and other grassroots organizations have on that election, and what is that going to mean clear across the country here? Barbara Boxer, 3 percentage points.
Come on down, and let's just let it all hang out. 12 o'clock again, that is at Tobacco and Brew in the meeting room over there, freefireradio.com. We will be streaming live on the Internet that show, so come down and have a lunch. Our guest today, Larry Lees, you burning up at the break. What do you got? You've got a big old hot question.
Well, he asked a couple questions, and if I could clarify at least one thing that was said, Carl, it's not that the county wasn't hit as hard. It's just that the impact of sales tax isn't as hard on the county.
Okay.
We're actually hit harder because of the being under control of the state and feds, and we have no discretion what happens there. So really, our budget went from about $400 million. Our budget probably shrunk $30 million last year.
Okay, so we're going to be looking at getting hit again then.
And we're going to be looking to get hit again, and I'll tell you specifically where some of those hits are coming. I wanted to talk about the veteran service officer also, because you brought that up, and just to answer it, you know, it's important that we don't sit here and just take what's handed to us, that we are aggressive and do things. I talked earlier off air about the bill that I was pushing. I think it's important we do that, and that's exactly what we're doing with the Veteran Service Office.
I want to get back to that bill you're pushing, too, because it has an impact on all employees for the county.
You bet it does.
Okay.
But on the Veteran Service Officer, what we're doing, Veteran Service Officer for the county is actually funding-wise, a discretionary position. Now, in Shasta County, it's not discretionary. The board has made it clear, and I agree. Obviously, they're my bosses. But we've all in alignment that that's not discretionary in Shasta County. There's too much of a need here, and they do too good a service. And certainly with Dave Lanford's going on, you know, that's going to be a tremendous loss. I'm so excited, though, about Robert Dunlap, who's coming into his shoes. He's got such passion and energy for veterans that it's just going to be very exciting. And to coincide with that excitement, this is where I say we're not sitting on our hands, we're doing something, is we're creating a new veterans office here. Now, yeah, there's a little bit of investment there, but the reason for that is by giving them a little room and investment, we've got tons of volunteers that would come in and help that veteran service officers. So we're going to be able to actually expand our veteran service officers' positions and benefits without increasing costs to the county. And that means bringing more cash in. The more benefits that we are able to get out to the deserving veterans, the more cash that comes back into the county, and, of course, you're changing lives, too. So that's exciting.
And we're talking outreach. Our guest yesterday was Dr. Leah Tate from the VA clinic. And what a great hour that was, where she's reaching out to our young veterans. But we can't forget our veterans that are in the nursing homes now from World War II Korea, and our aging Vietnam veterans too. So it's the kind of thing that is so important that we maintain that office. And if there's anything we can do here to keep, you know, to help that office, we will do.
Well, it's very important personally to me also, because having a dad that was on a ship in the South Pacific during World War II, who's now 86, 87, having a brother who is in a very remote base in Vietnam, it becomes very personal to me, and I just understand the need.
Yeah. Now, cuts.
So what we're looking at as far as cuts, what really impacts us? The governor has actually come out with his budget saying we are going to cut these programs in order to save money. And you know, I'm reluctant to get everybody in a panic, but it's things that that actually are saving us money right now. I mean, he mentioned some cuts to CalWORKS programs, a program, very good program, where we go out and provide opportunities for people to get back to work. I mean, that's really saving us money down the road. He announced cuts in the in-home supportive services. Where we have really been hit hard is in our mental health services and some of those other social service programs. Mental health, we figure in all of our social services, mental health, our health and human service programs, we figure that the government owes us at least $6 million today. That's not up for dispute. They know they owe it to us. They just don't have the money to give to us.
This is the state?
This is the state. And so we know that those programs we've had to reduce, we've had to cut, we've had to trim down. And it is a shame that has to happen. We know things like the Williamson Act, which is a offset for counties to have folks make sure that they have their agriculture land is protected for ag use. The state has now.
That was a big thing, that Williamson Act, because that impacted on. I mean, that really hurt a lot of people.
Well, it did, but it hasn't hurt anybody in Shasta County yet because we haven't eliminated it. What we did, the state used to subsidize that money that we lost, and that goes back to what Ed was talking about, property tax. State actually subsidized what we lost there. Now they've said they're not going to subsidize it anymore. We as a county have continued to ensure that the Williamson Act properties stay intact. And so we're continuing to watch that. But that means that we've had to take money right out of our discretionary general fund because we've lost that subsidy. That's a tune of about $300,000, $250,000 a year.
Okay. Now, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about you. You've been down to Sacramento talking about personnel and retirements and health and everything. So we want to talk about that. I also want to talk about other personnel and in the business climate here in Shasta County and some of the possible changes that could be looked at, according to many and many of our listeners. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, 605-4567. Call the Shasta County Administrative Officer.
The Anselmo Vineyard.
There we go. Now we're talking. Good morning. It's 8:42 in the morning, currently 42 degrees, overcast this morning, winds up to 12 miles per hour. It's going to be 46 degrees today. Weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. And we have a very special guest. If you're just tuning in at the last 15 minutes of our show, we have Larry Lees with us. Now, you have constructed a bill. Could you tell us about your bill?
It's SB 628, and it's not a real popular bill, I will say that. But as I mentioned earlier, I think it's important that we don't sit on our hands and just take what's dealt to us, that we have to be aggressive, proactive, and taking care of controlling our own destiny. And so last year I was able to get a senator to sponsor a bill, SB 628. And basically what that does is it gives you some flexibility within the PERS healthcare benefit structure. Right now, you don't have any flexibility there. All those payments have to be the same. All the benefits have to be the same. This bill does not take any authority away from the local unions. You still have to negotiate any benefit package that goes, but it gives you the flexibility. Right now, if we were to make an adjustment to try to control our cost, we'd have to make that adjustment with retirees, those that have been retired, those that are active, and you know, some of that's just not fair. So with the great anticipation, I marched down and actually testified in front of the Senate Hearing Committee 2 weeks ago in Sacramento on the bill. Now, it did not pass the committee. It was a 3-2 vote, but if you could picture this, here Larry Lees is, the Shasta County Administrator in the Senate Hearing Committee, and speaks in favor of this bill, and it was received well. And again, it doesn't take any authority away from the unions, but the opposition was the California Teachers Association, the Cal Fire unions, the State Fires Association, and they just were not supportive of this arrangement, and I don't understand it. And in fact, I've been talking to some of our local union representatives, and some like it actually because they say, "Gosh, yes, this controls our future cost." If you remember, through GASB 45, the cities and the counties had to predict what their future health care pension costs were going to be.
That's right.
The cities were around $100 million. Mm-hmm. I think the counties was anywhere from $100 to $140 million. I mean, that's cost that's going to come due at some point. The state is over $100 billion, and so you would think the state would go after this. Now, although the bill failed in the committee.
That's 120. That's a year, right?
No, that's total annual cost, so that wouldn't be a year.
Cost through?
Well, that's through a 30-year forecast.
All right.
And so, but the state, again, some of the school districts had to do the same thing, and their L.A. school district's over $1 billion in this health care thing. There was such great discussion in the Senate, though. I was asked to come up to the Senate majority leader, and we're actually now looking at doing some other things where we're going to incorporate that. So we're going to keep pushing.
Has to be done to bring down these costs.
Was I just censored?
Are we on the air, or was that like an emergency broadcast? Ooh, Bob.
They snuck that one in on me.
What was that?
That was Fox Network.
Okay.
Okay.
Anyway, okay, going back to the, this is the best part about, just starting the station up. You know, we get these strange noises. Of course, that's the strangest one so far. The thing about it is we have to get the cost down. The fact is that there's so many people working for the government now at city, state, federal levels. Somebody sent me an email, and I haven't checked it yet. There's more people working for the government than not. I don't know if that's true or not. I would hate to think that. I hope that's not true. But the people that aren't working for the government are the ones that are paying into this. Well, the people working for the government pay in it too. But the thing is, it's got to be grabbed a hold of, and we've got to get it under control. We're spending more on prisons than we are on higher education in the state, and the reason for that is unions. Because of the money that's going to the guards. And, and then the Cadillac health care many of the inmates get, which is better than what we get. We've got to do something. The part I like about this is that the retirees don't get hit. If we make changes on new people coming in.
Right.
And I think that's the way it should be, is a new person coming in, they understand the ramifications right then, and they start doing it, and they play by the rules.
Yeah.
You don't change the rules for the ones already in the game.
Yeah, and the critical component here is, and I've said this at many board meetings, we just can't spend money we don't have. We're not like the federal government. We can't print money, so we can't spend money we don't have. And we can't afford going down the same road without making some adjustments.
What do we need to do as a county in the next 6 months? What do we need to prepare ourselves for?
Well, we need to actually be prepared for what the continuing reduction in sales tax revenue is going to do to the cities, in my opinion. And again, the headlines touched on that yesterday, because we haven't come out of this yet. And then we need to prepare for what the state is going to end up doing to the counties. It's unknown right now. There's a lot of things that play into this. This is an election year for the legislators in Sacramento. It's a redistricting year, so they're all going to be trying to, in my opinion, trying to protect their seats, trying to protect their districts, and so they're going to have a very difficult time cutting programs to some of their strong supporters when they know they still have to get rid of this.
What are we going to have to cut? What are you looking at having to cut? We're cutting down a lot all the time. What's next?
Depending, again, on what the state does, I think you're looking at some potential cuts in the health and human services area, whether it be in some of the mental health areas, whether it be in the CalWORKs, social services. I think you're going to see some of the reductions there. Keep in mind, and like this or not, that the biggest economic driver for Shasta County is actually the Health and Human Services Department, where we have to put up some maintenance of effort money or match money, think of it. We put up maybe $2 million in match money. We bring in $300 million into the community to be spent. Now, you could agree whether it should be or not, because it's still government money coming in. But that's a huge economic driver coming in here. And when you start to see that chipped away, and then people, all of a sudden, their food subsidies are going down, their living subsidies are going down.
I believe you said there's like 900,000 food stamps.
Oh, no, there's... There's more than that. We actually check, and there's actually some of the supermarkets. One supermarket, in fact, here in town, a couple months ago, their food stamp generation was $900,000 just in that 1 month.
Well, that's what I mean, is that, these are things that are helping people in this community without jobs.
And right. That's why the food banks are so important as well.
And
we got to take a break here. This is Carl and Linda Bott.
on KCNR 1460.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM. Our guest, Larry Leeds, Shasta County Administrative Officer. You know, we need you back because we want to talk business. Let me give you one example. Is the number of fees and conditions and rules in Shasta County, we hear nothing but complaints. My favorite so far was just last week that said they were told before they could get the go-ahead that they had to paint the PVC pipes outside black. The only problem is they were already black PVC pipes, and they pointed that out to them. They said, I don't care. They have to be painted black. There's no reasoning behind that.
No, I would imagine there's probably more to that story than you've heard or maybe I've heard, but, you know, on the surface, I would agree. But, again, I would have to look, you know, take each case specifically to find out what's behind the entire story, because what people hear and what's said is not always the same thing.
So what section is ahead of that?
Well, our planning department is headed by resource management, and it's a pretty large department. And I'm proud to say they were responsible for bringing probably the biggest business into the community in this times of downturn. They brought the biggest business into this community under the direction of the resource management director, and that was the windmill turbine project out there on Hatchet Mountain, Hatchet Ridge. And that's going to not only bring clean air and clean energy to the community, but it's also creating a lot of jobs locally. A lot of the contract work was awarded locally out there in Burney. And then it's the tax revenue that's being driven that. Again, property tax, as Ed mentioned earlier, will be coming back into the county. And that's one of the largest ones we've seen probably in the last 20 years. So there are some good things happening also.
You need to send them over to us. No, seriously, because we really want to interview them and let our listeners know what's going on there. Just give a little brief history and projection and what's happening.
Right.
Yeah, because we, you know, again, going back to some of the rules about, you know, the flowers have to be 18 inches apart and they're 16 inches and they're not given the go-ahead to go until those are fixed. I know these seem like kind of funny things, but to people out there that are working hard, that the more regulations that, and they're not even state regulations, they're county regulations that, I just wonder, is anybody just kind of going through these and looking at them?
You know, we had an opportunity to do that about 3 years ago. The county, and I'm not saying this is good or bad, this is just, it is, the county's impact fee structure is probably about 50% of what it is in the city. So we're actually a good buy, in my opinion. Now, of course, there's additional city services that are required, so they need to be a little greater there. But the county is a good deal. And when we looked at implementing the impact fee structure years ago, it was for the business reason. We said, let's not just throw this all on 1 year. You know, let's kind of filter it in, taper it in. And that's what we've done. And we've been able to keep those costs down probably about a third of what the cities are.
Okay. Well, we've got just a couple of minutes here. Larry, any last thoughts here?
Now, I am actually very optimistic. I was talking with Linda earlier on the break, and I don't think people realize the great recession that we're in, that it is worse than people think, because we've had these downturns before and we pop out in a couple of years. This is a little different. It's gonna take a little longer, and California is gonna take a little longer to come back. And as California comes back, as the state itself comes back, then it filters out to the counties. But I'm so optimistic because I believe there's great opportunity. We're being able to fix some things that we weren't able to fix before, control some things. But you think about it, you've got people, I think there's going to be great opportunity for folks that want to get into the job market, get into working for government. I think there's going to be promotional opportunities. Because what happens is that you'll see folks who were typically retiring every year, you had that normally attrition. Well, because of investments, they've kind of held off on that retirement. They're staying another year or two to see where the market goes. Well, I think we're going to have a greater than normal attrition here in about 2 years, and that's just going to create all kinds of opportunities for new people coming into government. Shasta County is just a great place to live. So I'm really optimistic, and I have a lot of energy. Yeah, we have to get through these next 2 or 3 years, and it's going to be tough. But, boy, on the other side, we're going to come out leaner, meaner, and we're going to have opportunities for promotional growth, for new jobs. And so I'm excited about it, and I think this is the place to be.
You know, no offense to government workers, but I would like to see a huge growth in civilian jobs.
Shop local.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, okay, Larry Lees, the Shasta County Administrative Officer, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Today, We're going to be at Tobacco and Brew at noontime. We're going to be discussing the election in Massachusetts. You know, one of the things we're also going to be discussing is just the political climate and how it's going to change. Personally, I think that we need some direction from Washington, D.C., and it's not there. They are in shambles. We need leadership, at least somebody to say the direction we're going into. That's one of the things we'll talk about, too. And then, of course, tonight.
And tonight we're going to be guest bartending at Maritime Seafood Grill there on California. And also tomorrow morning, 7 a.m., we are launching a brand new show called Let's Sell It with Dave and Ernie.
Ernie and Dave.
Oh, it's Ernie and Dave now. Okay, I'm not sure. But anyway, it is a wonderful, going to be a just a hilarious show, but it's also going to be what's for sale in town. You can call, and if you've got something for sale,
think of it as a yard sale on the radio.
Right.
If you've got something to sell, you call, and they will get it on the air for you. You can email them. You can do this. And if you have not heard Ernie and Dave, then, you know, if nothing else,
we're in for a treat.
Listen to that, because they are entertaining. Will sell anything you have.
Along with our great lineup of live shows here on Saturday, local,
that's right.
Local, wonderful shows. Thanks for a great week. We have a wonderful lineup next week. Go to our website, 1460.com. Email us. Let us know what you want to hear. We're glad to interact with you and be of service for you, our great North State.
Or go to our other website, Free Fire Radio, and you'll see the lineup there this weekend of what we have going next week. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.